Robert.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Often you talk about somebody working with this on their own and what they can do if they don't have a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And in the in our last conversation about the origins of how Alexander came up with his technique, you made a great suggestion for us in this current time of technology to use a camcorder and a monitor,
mm-hmm.
and to actually put it on ourselves when and so that we can get a view, side view, back view of what we're doing really in real time to mm-hmm. see how mm-hmm. we're using ourselves.
Right.
And that's just a fantastic idea. I think, you know,
in teaching. I tell you where that works really well is with kids, with in my case it's teenage singers. And all you have to do is put the camera there and have them look directly into a monitor and see a side view. And you don't even have to do any Alexander stuff to get them to make a useful change. You just tell them, pay attention, watch, and sing to yourself and see what happens.
That's great.
Because it's a direct feedback loop to their brain. You know, wow, look at that. They don't necessarily register that I'm tightening my neck. But there's something, there's that kind of direct feedback that helps them a little, takes them a little bit anyway in the direction of saying no to that habit.
That's great, and I imagine you can just get a lot better angles and views, and instead of it using a three-way mirror to use the camera.
Yeah, mirrors. I mean, I love mirrors. I think mirrors are a fantastic tool. I think it should be in everyone's repertoire who wants to study the Alexander technique, because there's something about that that's very, I don't know, very direct and very clear. But from an organizational point of view, a camcorder has a lot of advantages. It's easy to move around. You could even tape it if you wanted. So there's a lot to be said for that as well.
Yeah. So actually, the besides commenting on that, my question was to bring up the question to spur some information about what can someone do if they're doing that themselves. They don't have a teacher, or they're using the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What can they do to avoid putting themselves in a position? Because they don't know at that point how to have a quality of movement
mm-hmm.
to just cancel a habit, and how to continue to cancel it long enough to even a few seconds to really see movement, even though it happens pretty instantly, but really to continue with it long enough to see the benefit. And so, and might not have a sense that they're positioning.
Mm-hmm.
And would they be able to know, to see the difference in the camcorder mm-hmm. or the mirror?
I think they can see, they can sense a difference if they start to actually use that visual feedback actively. So, for example, if they have the camera, if the camera's fixed on the side of your head and neck and gives you a really good view of your neck and your upper torso and your head. And if you're a woman with long hair, this would be a great time to put your hair up over your head, because you really want to see your actual neck. And if you were to notice, which you quite likely would if you're watching carefully and if you're doing it, that you might be tightening your neck in order to say things, or you might be tightening it to emphasize things or to make a point that, you know, that might trigger a bit of neck tightening. So the first step would be just to notice that. And then you might say to yourself, wow, I wonder if I actually need that. Maybe I could just very gently say no to that. I don't want to tense my neck. And in particular, I don't want to tense my neck when I'm about to get to a point where I'm likely to speak a little louder or try to make a greater emphasis of something. So I kind of preempt the tension that way. So you're using the mirror to give you a possible strategy for improving how you function. It may not, the mirror may not itself, you may not be able to see the difference with the mirror, but it's very likely if it's a speaking issue that you'll hear the difference, or that someone who's there would hear the difference, or if you don't have someone, tape it and see if it sounds different, or you might just hear that it sounds different. So I think the mirror is kind of a great, or the camcorder are great places to get real-time information. But in terms of how well your strategies of changing things are, the mirror might not be the best place to look, just because of the subtlety of it.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge for learning it. One of the big challenges for learning it on your own is that, without a teacher, is that you don't have that physical sense, that experience of ease.
Well,
you don't quite know that's there, that's available, and it's such an unusual sense. I think it's something so foreign for us without the benefit of having hands-on lessons.
I agree. So I think there's a real danger
for someone just think, well, I didn't tighten my neck because it didn't move.
Well,
and, you know, somebody can actually position themselves.
Right. Right. Like, that's all really true. And for sure, if there's an Alexander teacher around, that's really your best bet almost always. But if there isn't one, I still think there's quite a bit you can do on your own. Now, that whole question of positions and people having an idea that they want to get a certain position and then hold on to it and be right and all that kind of stuff, that is one of the biggest stumbling blocks people have at the beginning. And it's kind of too bad, because that's what pretty much all posture advice that you see out there is about. You know, hold your head a certain way, pull your shoulders back, lift your chest, or whatever. And it's always a kind of an implication that there's a certain position that you should attain and then keep. And from an Alexander technique point of view, that's probably the worst thing you can do, because it's just, you're just stiffening to hold that position. You're not really, you're not allowing for the natural fluidity of the body. You're kind of tamping it down, and you're confusing. People tend to think that there's got to be a right position, but really it's more a if you want to call it right anything, a right relationship between your head and your neck and your upper body, one that allows your head to move very easily with respect to your body, and one that allows your body to move very easily with respect to your head. So that, for example, if you're walking down the street, you don't want to have to hold your torso rigidly in order to have your head go on a nice even platform down the street. You want there to be some movement possibility, so that there can be twisting and turning in your torso that comes about from walking, and that but still allows your head to be just nicely balanced on top of your spine and able to progress in a clear direction. So you want that kind of fluidity, along with the ability to stabilize things if necessary, big time. You might need to suddenly tighten up. Might be a good thing to do in an emergency. It might be, but often we tend to be tight sort of habitually. And a lot of it has to do with ideas that we need to have a certain position, or ideas that we want to be right, you know. And I don't know, does that address what you're asking?
Yeah, and then there's also the idea of a constructive direction, mm-hmm. in that relationship of the head to the body.
So that might be a topic for another conversation, direction, which is one of Alexander's big concepts. What do you think?
Did we didn't already have that conversation? Did we? I thought we did.
We did, but we need to redo it.
Okay.
So why don't we end this conversation and move on?
Okay.
All right.